North Shore Today,
the area's only daily news podcast
on msonewsports.com.
Along with Bill Newell, I'm Rick Moore, and this is North Shore Today for Monday, February 24, 2020.
Peabody Mayor Ted Betancourt took a 19-mile ride to Boston last Tuesday afternoon to hand-deliver a packet of 60 letters and a petition with 380 signatures to Mass Housing opposing a 133 condominium project at the former J.B. Thomas Hospital site at 15 King Street. Ethan Foreman writing in today's Salem News that Betancourt and his chief of staff, Chris Ryder, delivered the packet in time to meet the February 18 deadline for comments on the project. Betancourt's special delivery followed a community meeting at City Hall in late January, during which he urged residents and city officials to write letters and sign the petition opposing King's Residences, which the city and the neighbors view as far too large for the neighborhood zoned for single and two-family homes. Much more on this story in today's Salem News.
On Friday, Beverly Airport was closed for a while after a male student pilot in his early 30s was touching down for a landing in a Piper Cherokee and about to take off again during a touch-and-go landing. His plane began veering to the left. He realized he could not take off due to a technical issue with the aircraft, and the plane ultimately came to a stop in a grass-covered safety area beyond the edge of the runway. And according to airport manager Gloria Bouillon, the student pilot made some good decisions.
Yeah, so the pilot was a student pilot, and so he was flying solo, and that's just part of the requirement before they go for the private pilot practicum, the exam. And so he was practicing a touch and go. It's basically you're landing and then you apply full power and then take off again. And so when he went to apply the full power, he said the plane started veering off to the left. He tried to correct for it, applied full right rudder, and the plane just kept going off to the left. So ended up going off the end of the runway and into the grass. And in the grassy area, we actually have it graded so that in the event that aircraft do have an overrun, or an overshoot, that they are protected instead of going into trees or houses or anything like that.
That's Beverly Airport General Manager Gloria Bouillon. No one was hurt.
A search committee has named two finalists to become the next director of the Beverly Public Library. Paul Layton writing in today's Salem News that Allison Babin, the assistant director of the Public Library, and Cindy Grove, the director of the Rockport Public Library, are the two finalists. The library's Board of Trustees will interview the two candidates again before making their selection. The trustees are searching for a new director to replace Ann Langstaff, who is retiring in April. Langstaff has worked at the library for 35 years, the last three as director. The Beverly Public Library was established back in 1855. It has a main library entrance at 32 Essex Street and the Farms Branch at 25 Vine Street and also a bookmobile.
The Associated Press is reporting that the Peabody Essex Museum in Salem has received a gift of more than 1,600 photographic works it says will enhance what is already one of the leading collections of Asian photography in the United States and Europe. The gift to the museum comes from the Joy of Giving Something Foundation, known for its work that explores the intersection of photography and social issues. The collection features the work of 123 artists, primarily of Chinese and Japanese descent, or who worked in Eastern Asia from 1930 to the present day. The museum already has a roughly 5,000-piece collection of 19th-century photography. Linda Roscoe Hartigan, the museum's deputy director, said in a statement, "These photographs deepen our museum's 220-year relationship with East Asian culture and offers a compelling complement to our historic collection of Asian photography. Several iconic photographs by photojournalist Mark Rebo, H.S. Wong, and Pulitzer Prize winners Max Desfor and Hun Kong Ut document the tumultuous history of Asia in the 20th century. The museum plans a photo exhibition entitled China Through the Lens in 2022.
Well, you've heard of good news stories. How about good luck news stories? Two Peabody men struck it big while they're winning lottery tickets earlier this month. This story in today's Daily Item, Keith Shemes purchased a $1 million cash word instant lottery ticket from a Lynn 7-Eleven located at 50 Western Avenue. Any other weekday, Shamis would have been at work, but as luck would have it, he had the day off due to the bad weather. After dining out for breakfast, Shamis and his fiancée decided to stop at the convenience store on their way home. It turned out to be a very profitable decision, as that is when he purchased the winning ticket. Shamis chose the cash option on his prize and will receive a one-time payment of $650,000 before taxes. Jose Almeida won a $2 million prize in the Cashword Instant Lottery game. He purchased his winning ticket from the Friendly Market located at 71 Springfield Street in Somerville. The store will receive a $20,000 bonus for the sale of the ticket. Almeida chose the cash option in his prize as well, and he'll receive a one-time payment of $1.3 million before taxes.
The fire-burning season is underway, and Gloucester Fire Department's Chief Eric Smith is warning Cape Ann residents to be extra careful.
You can go to the online permitting system in Viewpoint Cloud and go ahead and fill that out and get your burning permit online, and it emails you a copy of it. You don't have to come into the station. So long as you can pay online under the parameters that are set up, I believe it's credit card is a very obvious one. I think they might even do an electronic check. I don't know. I haven't pulled a permit for burning yet myself. I don't usually do any of it at my house. But it definitely is a very useful system if you have trouble doing any of this permit pulling online. If technology's not your thing or you don't want to pay online, you can still come into fire headquarters and talk to the clerk down at the fire prevention office. She can walk you through the process using our computer that's down there for public access, and then payment can still be made with a check. It just kind of slows down the process a little bit. You'll get your permit pretty quickly anyway, but they just have to go through depositing the check and all that kind of jazz first. And then you're off to the races on cleaning up the yard and following all the rules and having water available and adults only and all of those things that we push on open burning, for the purposes that it's allowed. So we are pretty tight on it. Because if you're not being careful with what you're doing out there, you can really create a hazard to not only yourself, but your neighbors, your property. And if you back up to any of the large stands of woods or even small stands of woods around us in fields, you can get a pretty big fire going pretty easily if you're not attending to it appropriately and following our rules on that and using general common sense and the rules prescribed therein for the permit. So last thing we need to do is get a big fire going in the woods, because I've said it since I've been here, there is a lot of dead trees and a lot of underbrush, and we haven't had a large brush fire in many, many, many areas of this extremely wooded and rural community. That 60%, 60% of our community is still covered in trees, which is an awesome thing, but when we haven't had the fires to kind of clean out that underbrush, and there isn't a pot of money to go out there and do this and pay people to do it, so there's a lot of risk, and there's a lot of fire load out there that if we don't pay attention and we get it going, it's going to be a problem.
Gloucester Fire Chief Eric Smith.
So another week is underway. Welcome to Monday, everybody. School vacation week all over, so it's back to school for everyone today. Well, have a great Monday, everybody. Along with Rick Moore, I'm Bill Newell. Thanks so much for joining us on North Shore Today. Don't forget Connections every Tuesday and Thursday mornings at 10. Tomorrow morning, Tuesday, however, the show will be at 11 at a special time. This is North Shore Today.